Okay, it's no secret that World Zionism, otherwise known as International Rothschild Gangster Banksterism, all the countries in the world now have the basic Rothschild central banking template running them. They are under the thumb of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and so forth. We know in this country that the Jewish Zionist lobby is king. There are many tentacles, many arms, many fingers of it. The most obvious and blatant, of course, is the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, AIPAC. Now, AIPAC has its counterparts in probably most countries. It's a politically active power group that seeks to oppress and subjugate, bribe, blackmail, threaten, otherwise deal with politicians and captains of industry in those countries to control the countries, and they do very, very well. Once they get hold of the financial system, it's really just a cakewalk from then on. Over in this country, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, AIPAC, every year has its convention, or its confab. And every year, America's top politicians go down there and grovel. It is disgusting. And it's even more humorous in a way when you think how AIPAC is funded. It's funded by American tax dollars. Make no mistake about it. Same tax dollars that are buying Israelis new arms and munitions, that are paying for all of the settlements in occupied Palestine, and so on and so forth. Yes, folks, you are paying for most all of that. Here to talk to us about that issue and others this hour, two of the world's greatest anti-Zionist humanist human beings that I know about. They're Gilad Atzmon, coming to us live now from England, a friend of ours for a long time, and brother Nathaniel Kapner, who has a worldwide following now because of his outspoken condemnation of Zionist greed and brutality. Hello, Gilad, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning. I'm very happy to be with you again.
Well, thank you. It is morning there. It must be 4 a.m.?
It is 5.
Five.
And, good morning to brother Nathaniel as well.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
It's 10 o'clock here in the mountains of Colorado.
Right. Silly me, sir, for sure. I'm a bit kind of, it's like morning here very early. So.
Yeah. For you folks who don't know, Gilad is not only a brilliant writer and international human rights activist, but he is an equally brilliant musician, and I hope you have seen his works. Hope you've bought some of his CDs. Go and enjoy them at his website. Listen to some of the music. Look at the tours that his group does. And if you get a chance to see him, by all means do. Now, let's go right to the idea of Jewish Zionist power lobby. How is it that 0.3% of the world population, Gilad, has achieved such incredible dominance in so many different areas?
I think that it is indeed very, very impressive, and we have to admit that we are dealing with a very powerful ethnic group. And my explanation, and I wrote about it extensively in my latest book, The Wandering Who, has something to do with the tribal culture. Every time I try to explain it to Americans, I speak about American exceptionalism. You are an exceptionalist society. You love yourself sometimes for a good reason, some other times for no reason at all, but you really appreciate your contribution to the world and so on and so on and so on. But you are very young in it. You are exceptionally society for 70, 80 years, maybe 90, maybe from the end of the First World War. When it comes to the Jewish community, to Jewish culture, we are really doing it for 3,000-4,000 years. We are really doing it for a long time. So, for instance, if Americans really want need advice on exceptionalism, they can only take it from us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we are the people who set your neoconservative think tanks.
Right.
We tell you who to kill in the name of what ideology.
Exactly.
We are bred with this ideology from a very young age. And I guess that there are a few elements in Jewish culture that evolved into this unique identity. We can obviously speak about the inherent Gentile hating that is peppered all over the Talmud. But as we know, the Talmud is something that is not shared amongst many Jews. So it actually made it into the secular Jewish identity. Zionism is embedded with Goy hating. Jewish Marxist philosophy is saturated with Goy hating, and this is one of the explanations that the boon that matured into the Bolshevik movement later, there were the willing executioners for Stalin, as Yuri Sletkin describes it in his incredible book about Jewish identity in the 20th century. It is very, very interesting. And what also makes Jewish communities very powerful is the very interesting fact that at least when they live within Christian culture or Muslim culture,
yes,
they are living with very tolerant people. You Christians are extremely tolerant towards us. And
Gilad, excuse me, should we use another word beside tolerant? How about foolish? Naive?
No. This is exactly, I was just going there. You are foolish, but I really think that you are tolerant. But one of the biggest mistakes that we are making, we are interpreting your kindness and tolerance as foolishness.
Yes.
And
yes,
we abuse it. This is exactly the point. And we abuse it, we push it, and we push it, and we push it.
Yes.
And this is why our, let's say, disasters, we call them Shoahs and so on, always catch us by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good.
Because
all right,
we are really not prepared for it, you know. We don't, suddenly they turned against us. And if you look into the particularity of every Jewish destruction in the history, you see that all the signs were there. And between the two, not just the two of us, the many of us, you know, your listeners, you know, all the signs are there that the American people are really, European as well, showing clear signs of fatigue.
Agreed.
They are extremely tired. You see it in polls, what they think about Israel, what they think about the Jewish lobby, what they think about Jewish power. All the signs are there, and I don't see any sign of restraint. You spoke about AIPAC. The only sign of a Jewish attempt to change the situation is this new J Street funded by George Soros. That it's an alternative Jewish lobby, which only means that if you are lucky enough as an American politician not to be caught by AIPAC, you will have to be submissive to another Jewish lobby with just a lighter Zionist agenda.
Very well said.
It is depressing.
Yeah. All right. Now, Brother Nathaniel Kapner was raised Jewish, and as a young adult man, discovered that he wasn't comfortable there and converted to Christianity. He has a unique perspective, and his writings and videos, of course, are world famous now. Brother Kapner, are we, as Americans, tolerant to our own self-destruction? Are we really that dim-witted about it all?
I think the stupidest people walking the face of the earth are Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't call them naive. I would just call them plain stupid. I see them at the TSA line. I see men in business suits. They go into Chertoff's strip machines. They put their arms up in the air while Chertoff and Lieberman are disarming them. And someone who used to work at McDonald's is seeing them naked.
Mm-hmm.
I call them stupid.
No, I'm not going to argue that at all. Stand by just a minute, if you will. Gentlemen, we'll come right back. Our conversation with Gilad Atzmon and Brother Nathaniel Kapner will continue. Okay, back with Brother Nathaniel and Gilad Atzmon. All right, Brother Nathaniel, go ahead with your line of thought. And I do agree with you. It's sadly, even the pictures and the videos I see of American adults walking into the TSA outraged and holding their arms up and bending over and submitting.
Right.
Total submissive. It's a submissive culture. It's a disgrace is what it is.
It's a brainwashed culture. You see, your typical American, he gets his facts not from alternative news sites like Rents.com or reading a good, insightful book like The Wandering Who. Americans
you,
get their facts, quote-unquote, from television, TV, you see? The TV's gospel for Americans. If they saw it on TV, it's got to be true. He told me, I was talking to him a little about the Jewish lobby. He says, no.
Uh-huh.
The Rockefellers run this country. They control the elections. I said, well, where'd you read that? How do you know that? He said, I saw it on TV.
This is not an intellectual process that people go through. They don't even think. They watch and they are programmed. It's just shoveled right in and it's accepted as being essentially true. You're right.
Yeah. So that's the problem. And besides that, Americans are apathetic. They're apolitical. But Jews are super political. Well, Gilad, I grew up with it in the synagogue. The rabbi would begin a sermon with a portion of the Talmud, or maybe something from Torah, the Torah reading of the day. And then he'd launch into a sermon about the political candidates, whether they were local, state, or national, for an hour. And afterwards, at our brunch, with B'nai B'rith businessmen, they wouldn't be talking about Talmud. They'd be talking about the politicians that the rabbi was telling them that they should vote for and who not to vote for. This is what I grew up with. Well, the Jews are very politically minded. I don't think the Goyim are.
No, they're sports minded.
They
love their sports.
They're sports minded, and they love their movies and their TV, which the Jews put on, because the Jews run the media here in America. I suspect they do in England, where you live, Gilad. And so they put on these shows. Now they're showing all kinds of shows on lesbianism and homosexuality. But that's for the Goyim. The Jewish kids are in their rooms doing their homework so they can become CEOs on Wall Street. They're not watching TV. The Goyim are.
How is the situation in England, Gilad, the average English man and woman? Would they be Goyim as well?
Yeah, Goyim is a general thing. It is really, really, really widespread all over the world. Wherever I go, I see Goyim. I don't know what is going on. You know, I agree with
what is Goyim on? That's good.
with Brother Nathaniel, you know, there is just a small anecdote. Actually, I wasn't in the room, but in 2003, a friend of mine, a musician, told me after playing in a bar mitzvah that he heard a sermon in the bar mitzvah by a rabbi, and the rabbi said it was just after the war broke, and he said, "Oh, never in our history we won such a big war in with such a little effort." basically the goyim were fighting our war again. And this is in 2003, where it was very clear to us that it was the Jewish lobbies in both sides of the ponds that were pushing this war. Here in Britain, it was Lord Levy with the Jewish lobby that were the chief fundraiser for Blair's government. And in America, it was obviously the same, but nobody spoke about it openly. Yet within the Jewish community, in a bar mitzvah, a rabbi said it plainly on stage. Here in Britain, 80% of the Tory MPs, the leading MPs, are CFI, Conservative Friends of Israel, and it is not discussed in any news outlet, not by the BBC, not by the Guardian. In fact, the Guardian is operating as a gatekeeper, trying to prevent anyone from raising the issue. There is a Jewish small lobby group that is called CFI Watch that actually is doing nothing but monitoring the Guardian, and the Guardian is submissive, and it is embarrassing to watch. The Guardian reacts immediately. It became the Guardian of British Jews rather than the Guardian of the British people or the Guardian of Free Press. This is very, very sad. But actually, I do not think that the goyim are stupid. As I said before, they are tolerant. Recent polls suggest, recent BBC poll, I would say, it's an annual poll that they do every year, reveal that Israel is one of the most hated country in the world. Its popularity is in the very bottom. It is something like 75 to 85% of Europeans, Germans, French, Spanish, British, really against Israel. People here and in America, by the way, in America it's 50% regard Israel as a horrid place. In spite of the TV, in spite of the Guardian, in spite of the Daily Telegraph, in spite of all those spinful media outlets, people are seeing Israel and the Jewish lobby and the Jewish power for what it is. And it is pretty devastating, again, because as far as I can see, and I monitor Jewish press daily, they still cannot restrain themselves and amend their way and save themselves from themselves. And this is why the Jewish culture is indeed a tragedy.
All right. Hold on just a second, gentlemen. We'll pause and come right back. Okay, talking with Gilad Atzmon in England and Brother Nathaniel Kapner here in the U.S. What do you know, Gilad, about a technique, a technology, a way to take the control away from international Jewish Zionism? How can it happen? How can the Rothschild banking cartel be somehow disarmed, somehow disempowered, even to a small degree? It seems to me that the control is so absolute now, through the media, through politics, through banking, it doesn't matter, that it's almost impossible.
I think that the means towards such goal is actually very simple, and it is embedded with American Constitution. It is the First Amendment. I think that all we have to do about it is to speak about it openly as we do, to write books about it, to make videos and to expose it. And I can see how popular we are becoming. You know, like a few months ago, we started a deliberation, a few writers and activists in Britain, and we are really tackling some issues to do with Jewish power. And within days, it became one of the most popular websites in Britain. So people are interested in it. People want to read about it. We must pursue with every possible effort to expose these issues, not just because it is important for the goyim. It is also very important for the Jews. You know, this is the only way they can save themselves. Now, we all know that there is a massive assault against our most every freedom we have, you know, in America, you have the Patriot Act, Patriot Act, and here we have different measures. You know, there is efforts to censor the internet. But I really believe that we must keep thinking and talking as long as we are entitled legally to do so, because this is our only way to save ourselves.
Hmm. All right. Brother Nathaniel, how do we take back control here when you see America's political leaders going down to the AIPAC convention and groveling? When you see the professions dominated, business dominated, it's dominated. How do you take it back? How do we do it? Especially when the American psyche is becoming less and less competent all the time. The elections, of course, are utterly fixed and rigged. We know that. Four corporations own 95% of the media. How do you do it? I don't mean to sound negative.
All right, well, thank God we still
realistic.
Have the First Amendment here in America.
So far.
Groups like the Anti-Defamation League, which is worldwide. I'm sure Gilad has to deal with it in England. would like to take that away from us by accusing us of hate speech, but we still have it, and so we need to keep on speaking, we need to keep on writing, we need to keep on doing our videos. Gilad has done some great videos. I watched another interview with him the other day, which was excellent, where he put forth the three categories of Jews. I thought it was interesting the way he put it. I may have a shade of difference with him on it. But, yeah, we do need to keep on speaking, writing, and doing the videos. However, I don't think we're going to make a dent, we'll make a little dent, until there is a great catastrophe that's going to wake people up and they're going to start looking around and says, why don't I have a job? Why don't I have a house? And why does this loaf of bread, this white bread that I once bought for 50 cents now cost me $15. Then they're going to start looking around and they're going to find out why. And they are going to look to certain culprits who have bought our politicians, spent all our money on these wars for Zionism, taken our jobs and sent them to China and India. Well, who has done it? Wall Street. Okay, well, who runs Wall Street now? It's not the old WASP elite. No, it's Jewry that runs Wall Street now.
Next year.
And they are the ones that underwrite the corporations, dictate policy to corporations, and they are the ones that sit on the boards of these corporations and tell them, you got to send your corporations and sell back to America with cheap labor, blue-collar labor in China that are worth for $3 an hour, and white-collar labor over in India with your high-tech jobs, your research and development, your computer programming, your IT work, who will do it for $12 an hour. Then Americans will start going to books like The Wandering Who, Brother Nathaniel's amazing videos. I'm about to do a new website called that, which Jeff's going to help me with.
Yes, man.
And then they'll say, okay, this is what Gilad is saying. This is what Brother Nathaniel's saying. You know, one's a former Jew, one's still a Jew, and they've got the inside track. Well, this is the problem. And as Gilad is saying, it's going to be devastating for Jewry. And I see what Gilad is doing. He is speaking to Jews, okay? My major emphasis is I'm speaking to Christians, to Gentiles. And if they're not strong Christians or church-going Christians, at least they still have it in their blood. And they still have it in their heritage, and they'll listen to me. I think this is what has to happen, Jeff. A major economic crisis, a major catastrophe.
Can I intervene?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it is very interesting the way you presented, Brother Nathaniel, because I tend to agree. I'm desperate to save ourselves from this catastrophe. I'm desperate to save also the Jews from being at the center of such a catastrophe. And it is pretty astonishing with the Jewish history being a chain of such catastrophes that the Jews are the last people to prevent themselves from being at the center of such catastrophe that is already in the making. Now, Brother Nathaniel, I think that we shouldn't speak anymore to Christians or to Jews. I don't see myself at all as a person who speak to Jews in particular. I wrote my book to people out there. I think that Jeff is doing a great job spreading the news. Probably it's probably the leading website on that front, and definitely the most popular one. And I think that we start to move to think of all of us, not in terms of marginal sectors, Jews, Christians, black, gays. We are the people of this world, and this world is our planet. We have to save it together. You know, from that perspective, the Jews, and even Alan Dershowitz, he probably won't agree with us, is our brother. You know, we have to save ourselves, and we have to save him as well from himself, which is something that he is definitely not capable of doing. If we fail, Brother Nathaniel, you are correct. We will face disastrous consequences, and people would look who to blame. And this will be, I think, the Coca-Cola cost, as opposed to the Holocaust.
Interesting. All right, stand by right there. We'll take our break and come right back in just a couple minutes. All right, Gilad, as you look at America from over in England, how does it look to you? Does it look like a captive servant to Zionist Israel, ultimately the Rothschild banking cartel? How does it appear to you?
I must admit to you that I really, really love America. I really love visiting the United States. You may find it hard to believe, but I find it much easier to tour in America, to meet people, to discuss issues freely, because in Britain we are totally Judified. The Palestinian solidarity movement,
right,
institutionally, for instance, as an example, as a dissident discourse,
right,
has been Judified, that they even kick out Palestinians, they even cleanse Palestinians who try to touch Jewish power. This is why we launched the liberation. It was launched primarily by Palestinians who were cleansed by the Jewish-controlled Palestinian solidarity campaign. So you have something, the idea of freedom of speech is embedded in your culture, and this is something that I can see. However, in America, we see a similar problem. Even the discourse of dissent is controlled by Jewish lobbies. I'm now working on something that may turn into a new book or appendix for my for the Wandering Who. I start to work on the I work on it for a while, and I write about it extensively in the Wandering Goo. And Brother Netanel just mentioned it 20 minutes ago.
Right.
Is the how Jews Jewish political and marginal forces operating and trying to reach to establish hegemony within a discourse of dissent, how they try to maintain hegemony within the Palestinian solidarity discourse, between the gay and marginal discourse, and so on and so on and so on. J Street is one example. I learned, you know, that George Soros is funding J Street. I am not so sure that this is the case, but I've started to see, I'm looking into it, him funding as well independent Jewish voices. There are some people who are talking about Soros funding the BDS, the boycott, divestment, sanction, which looks as a Palestinian call, but if it is true, it is really funded by a liberal Jewish agent. And this is frightening, it is devastating, but on the long run, it is not going to work, because the world is actually changed by the people who live in it, and we are already aware of what is going on, and now it's just a question of time before the news spread, and it will spread fast.
All right, very good. When you look at this country, Brother Netanel, what do you see in the next couple, 3 years? More money for Michael Chertoff, and more irradiated bodies, and more cattle and sheep walking through the airports, which is really symptomatic and symbolic of what this country has become.
Yeah, well, Americans are sheep, and if the government says it, it must be right. I mean, that was instilled in us as children in the public school system. And it's hard for Americans to break out of that. I remember I had a good friend, and I lost his friendship when I started telling him that 911 was an inside job. And he said to me, "Are you telling me that the government has been lying to us?" I said, "They sure have." And I haven't seen him since. He says, I won't be friends with you anymore.
Really? No.
Oh, yeah. And
that
this was an intelligent
that's
man.
Not, that's
this
not
this was a man who had a job, and a technical job, in water treatment. And he just could not accept the fact that our government has been lying to us. So I see we have a lot of sheeple, and we have some people who are willing to wake up, but it's hard for them because they're still glued to CBS, ABC, and NBC. And I don't know if Gilad Otzman knows it or not, but those three stations are not corporate owned, as Paul Craig Roberts would have us believe. They're not prostitutes, as Gerald Celente would have us believe. They're Jews, period. I know who they are. Mm-hmm. I know their names. Sumner Redstone, he changed his name from Murray Rothstein to Sumner Redstone, so he appears as a blue-blooded Gentile. He owns CBS, okay? He also owns MTV, Corrupting the Youth. Who owns ABC? Well, it's the Bass Brothers and Robert Iger, a Jew, is the chief CEO of ABC. NBC is owned by the Roberts family. Brian Roberts owns Comcast. He's a Talmudic Jew. Okay, he's a Torah Jew. And these are the people that are feeding the lies. Do you think any of these three TV stations will ever do a documentary proving that 911 was an inside job? Are you kidding? Because then it's going to point to the Mossad. Mm-hmm. But what did the Mossad have to do with it? So Americans are sheep. They listen to the TV. They're brainwashed. So where's America headed? I think just like Jeff said. More wars. A greater presence of the TSA inspecting us on our bus lines, on our highways, and Americans will put up with it.
Right.
But they will stop putting up with it when they don't have their homes anymore and they have to pay $15 for a loaf of bread.
That's possibly the only way, a major catastrophe.
But by the way, this is somebody should mention that as far as I'm aware, 50 million Americans already lost their homes or living in deep poverty. I saw some shocking statistics. This is a very high percentage of your population. For many of them, a minor injury would mean light disease could mean a death penalty. So a leading superpower, and you have such a vast population of people who are totally deprived. And this is why you recently approved this kind of 30,000 drones over your country, which means that basically you are not going to be different from Gaza. From Palestine.
No, we'll be living in...
That's right. The problem with all these 15 million who lost their homes or lost their jobs, they're being told the lies from ABC, NBC, CBS, Elon, that we're in a recession and the economy is on a recovery. And they believe these lies.
100 million Americans are out of work who are actually able to work. 100 million.
100 million. I got my numbers wrong. But these people still believe the lie. And Gilad, it's a Jewish lie, because the Jews run the media here in America. All right?
I'll just tell it like it is.
It's a Jewish lie. And they still believe that their jobs are going to come back. Well, they They're gone.
What I'm trying to say, whether it is a lie or a Jewish lie, it is obviously a lie, and there are a lot of lies around. But what I'm saying here, I'm taking it one step farther. In order to maintain, because those people who run your country and run your news and run your corporates are not so sure that they can keep this lie anymore, this is why they've just now approved a law of 30,000 that would allow 30,000 drones flying over your head, because they can see that they may not be able to maintain social order.
That's right.
The panic is already there.
That's right.
They already see that there is a tidal wave of unrest. And by the way, it's not just in the United States. It is exactly the same situation here in Britain. Here there is no prospect of any change or better future. We produce nothing in this country.
Agreed.
Except some jazz.
Gilad, we're out of time. Thank you for getting up, my friend. Good to talk to you again. Get some rest.
It's amazing to be with you.
All right. Be well.
Yeah.
And brother Nathaniel, thank you for everything.
Yeah, great interview. It was a historical interview, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Take care. Talk soon. All right. That's our Wednesday program for you. We'll be right back tomorrow night, Thursday. Take care. Talk to you then.